Today's daf is Chulin Daf Tzadik Beis, and we are two lines from the top of Daf Tzadik Beis on Aleph, moving along in the Divrei Agoda related to the Gid Hanosha. So as we've mentioned several times and saw yesterday in great detail, the third mitzvah in the Torah, the Loisase, Shaloi Lechel Gid Hanosha, comes from a context that's mentioned in Parshas Vayishlach. Yaakov Avinu and his family, they're on their way towards Esav. Yaakov realizes that he left something behind. He crosses a river on his own. Vayivasa Yaakov Levadoi. And when he was in a state of Levadoi, a Talmud Chacham, he was vulnerable. The Pasuk says that a Malach came and began fighting with Yaakov Avinu. The Malach thought that he would easily defeat Yaakov Avinu, but when he saw he couldn't, so at the very least, he wanted to accomplish something. He hit him in his thigh. He ends up giving Yaakov a bracha. He changes Yaakov's name. And the Torah says that because of what happened, because of this seeming miracle that took place, that the Malach was not able to defeat Yaakov Avinu, and the Isra, as we mentioned, is not to eat the Yerech. The Isra is to mention the Gid Hanosha, the Gid that slipped within the Yerech. So when the Malach was Vateka Kaf Yerech Yaakov, he caused one of the Gidin, the sciatic nerve, to slip out of place, and the Isser is related to the Gid Hanosha, the Gid that slipped. Regardless, another Amid Gemara that's going to relate somewhat to the idea of Gid Hanosha with a little bit of digression. Either way, says the Gemara. The Pasuk says in Eshea Perek Yud Beis, Vayosar El Malach Vayuchal. So this is a pasuk mentioned in the 12th parak of Sefer Hosea. Says the Gemara that this pasuk is clearly referring to the struggle, this battle between Yaakov and Sarish Olesav. And when it says Vayosar El Malach, that he was able to overcome, Eni Yodeh Mi Nasa Sar L'Mi. So Vayosar is Miloshin Sar. The question is, who became a Sar to? Was Yaakov a Sar to the Malach, or was the Malach a Sar to Yaakov? When the pasuk says Ki Sarisa Im Elikin, when the Malach tells Yaakov, Ki Sarisa Imalikim, Hava Oimer Yaakov, Nasa Sar Lo Malach. Then when it says Vayasar El Malach, it doesn't mean that the Malach was the Sar, but it means that Yaakov was the one that was the Sar. Meaning Yaakov was able to triumph over the Malach, even though Yaakov got hurt. But big picture, Yaakov actually walked away triumphant. Then the pasuk talks about someone crying and begging. When the pasuk says that the Malach asked Yaakov to please let me go, it seems like it's the Malach who's pleading with Yaakov, and he asks him to please let me get out. So the pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu was able to be a sar on top of Elikim and on top of Nosh. Oh, my Rabbi. Rabbi said, Remez Romazle. This was a remez to Yaakov Avinu, Shasidim Shnei Sorim, Motzis Mimenu. That there were going to be two Sorim that were going to emerge from Yaakov Avinu. And who were they? They were the Reish Goyla. That's the Reish Galusa. These were the leaders of Klal Yisrael and Bavel. The Nasi Shabarit Yisrael and the Nasiim of Eretz Yisrael. And if that's the case, Mikan Remez Legolas. That in this parsha of the Yiga b'kaf yerechoy, v'teka kaf yerech Yaakov, there's a remez to the Gauls. Where do you see Gauls in this parasha? Because if Ki Sarisa in Melikim v'manoshim is a reference to both the Nesiim in Bavel and the Rosh Goyl in Bavel and the Nesiim in Eretz Yisrael, what are the Yidden doing in Bavel? Why is there a Rosh Galusa in Bavel? Oh, must be there's going to be a Gauls. When did the Yidden go to Bavel? That was Gauls Bavel. That was because they weren't able to all live in Eretz Yisrael at that time. In a perfect world, we're all living in Eretz Yisrael. The fact that there's a Rosh Goyl in Bavel, that in and of a sign is a sign of Galus. Where do you see him? Elikim and Anoshim, the Nesiim of Eretz Yisrael and the Reish Galus of Bavel. So Elikim usually means HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But sometimes Adhu Elohim Yovei Dvar Shneim. Elohim can also mean Bezdin. So the Bezdin of Eretz Yisrael was always referred to as Elohim. That's Beloshin Chayil. And the reason is because they had Smicha. And Elihim is Dayanim Musmachim, as opposed to the Reish Galus and Babel, who did not have smicha, so they're merely referred to as Anoshim. Bottom line is, Ki Sarisam Elihim, that's the Nesim and Eretz Yisrael, Vimanoshim, that's the Reish Galus and Babel. In this Pasuk, there's a remez to the Golas. The Pasuk says, Upagefen Shloisha Sarisim. So the Gemara is going to digress, and the Gemara is going to discuss another pasuk in where there's remazim to different sarim and different things that the Yidden are going to have. And this is a rather well-known pasuk, a pasuk in Parshas Vayeshev. The end of Parshas Vayeshev, Yosef HaTzadik was thrown into jail. He was thrown into jail because of a bilbul. This was a libel. He was alleged to have attempted to do an Aveira with Eshes Paitifar. Of course it wasn't true. So he's thrown into the Beis HaSayer, and there were two other ministers of Paro that were there at the time, the Sara Oifim and the Sara Mashkim. The Pasuk says they both had a dream. The Sara Oifim had a dream, and he comes, he tells Yosef his dream. The Sara Mashkim has a dream, he tells Yosef his dream. Yosef interprets the two respective dreams, and of course, the rest is history. Either way, the Sara Mashkin, when he tells Yosef his dream, he tells him as follows. He tells him, in my dream, I saw Geffen, I saw a vineyard. And on, in this vineyard, on one of these grapevines, there were three branches. The branches, these sarigim, were blossoming. Also nitza, its fruit started coming forth. Hivshilu eshkeloyseh anovim, and then quickly clusters of grapes developed, and then they even ripened. So it seems to be moving really, really fast. He witnesses this vine, there's branches that are growing, fruit start coming out, and then they're fully ripened. The kais parai biyadi, and then he continued. He said that I'm holding the kais parai, that this was his job. He's the sara mashkim. The ekachasu anovim, and I took these grapes that grew so quickly. The eschat oisam al kais parai, I squeezed them into schita, into the cup of parai. The etin esakais al kaf parai, and I handed the kais to parai. So Yosef turns to the sara mashkim and he tells him, I have good news. Zepis roinish shloishes sarigin shloishes yomim. The three branches that you saw, these are 3 days. But in shloishes yomim, in 3 days, zisa pari esrei shecho, tehishivcha al kanecho, pari is going to take you out of jail and you're going to go back and he's going to restore you to your post. V'nasata kais pari biyodi kemishpeta rishoyim asher ha'yisa mashkeyo. And then Yosef throws in one line to the sara mashkim and he tells him, I'm just asking you that in 3 days when you're let free, ki imzechartani itcho kashi itavloch, I want you to repay the favor. I just did you a taiva. I just gave you a basura taiva. When you're out and you're free, please tell Pari about me. So in case, you know, there's ever a rainy day in Egypt where maybe there'll be need, there'll be a use for the koyach that I have to interpret dreams. And of course, the rest is history. Right, exactly. And that's what happened. But either way, the Gemara now is going to darshan different pshatim, different interpretations to the dream of the Sara Mashkim, which at first glance is interesting because there seemed to have been the interpretation of the Sara Mashkin's dream. The interpretation was exactly what Yosef told him, stating that Chazal somehow knew that in this dream there were other interpretations as well, and the Gemara is going to darshan now in great detail, almost the whole Amud Gemara of Jerushas related to what exactly the Sara Mashkim dreamt. Now it's interesting, the Maral and his right here in the Sechtes Chulin says, how did Chazal know this? Like, we're going to see now a lot of fascinating drugs. But how did they know that? Maybe the Pshat in the Sara Mashkin's dream is what Yosef told him. Again, it's not an arbitrary point what the interpretation of the dream was. That's the Iker Parsha of the dream. Sara Mashkin has a dream. Yosef says, this is the interpretation of the dream. It plays itself out, and because of that, Yosef... So how did Chazal know that there's more here? So the Maral says that if you think about it, this is the Haskalah Sageula, this dream right here. I mean, up until now, Yosef is lying in jail. But as soon as Yosef interprets the dream, so now we're ready, the seeds were planted, that Pari is one day going to find out about Yosef. He's going to be blown away by his mystical powers. Eventually, he's going to take him out. Yosef is going to become the Mishnah LeMelech. When there's a hunger, the brothers are going to come down. They're going to interact with Yosef. They're going to settle in Mitzrayim, reduce Shonim. Eventually, they're going to leave Mitzrayim, and that's going to be the Geula. So says the Maral inside. Because through that, Boyakov Yosef Mitzrayim. For like coming Yisrael Malasim Kiyam in Mitzrayim. Kiyam in Mitzrayim. Hoytzei Hashem Yisbaruch. Oysen the Hevi Yosef Malam Ma'ila Hagdoyla Shalachem Loilah. Says the Maral that being that so much came from this dream, Chazal felt that there must be more here. That if the Geulas Yisrael came about, the Haschol of it was this dream, there must be somewhere in the dream an addition and a hidden meaning that relates very much to Geulas Yisrael. And on that note, says the Gemara, Ubegefen Shalishas Arigim. So there were three branches on this vine. Amar Abchia Barabo, Amar Rav Elu Gimel Sare Geim Hayoytzem Mitzrayim Bechol Dover Dar. Hayoytzem Yisrael Bechol Dover Dar. These are the three Geim that are members of Klal Yisrael in every generation. So what do geyim mean? Rashi says, Ashirim, these are wealthy Jews, who crave the Malchus, and they have some form of protectio. Either way, and every generation has, there's some generations, but two of them live in Bavel, or in Chutzlar, it's one lives in Eretz Yisrael, and there's times that two of them live in Eretz Yisrael, one of them lives in Bavel. And when Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said this, Yavu Rabbanu Neinayus, everybody started rolling their eyes. Who were they staring at? Rabbanu Ukva, Rabbanu Nechemya, on Rav Ukva and Rav Nechemya, b'nei Barte de Rav, Rav's grandchildren. So Rav had a daughter, one who had two sons. One was Rabbanu Ukva, the other one was Rabbanu Nechemya. Apparently, quoting Rashi, they were Ashirim, Ukrovim Amalchus. They were very wealthy, and they used to help the Jews. And they were two out of the three Sarigim that the Sarah Mashkin had dreamed. Rava, Omer, Rava says, Elu Shleisha Sari Geim. These are actually three Sarim of the Umay Sa'olam, Shemalamdim, Tzchusa Yisrael, B'chol Dar B'dar. Rashi says, Gimel Sari Geim Malachim. This is referring to the Sarim that Ramban talks about throughout his Pirush Al HaTorah. This is on the angel level. So the point is that you have three Malachim, angels that are Melitz Toy for Klal Yisrael. So they're the angels of the 70 nations of the Umay Sa'olam, but at the same time, they're good to the Jews, so to speak. And that's what these three Sarigim are. Geffen, the Geffen that the Sarah Mashkin saw in his dreams, it's referring to the world. Shalisha Sarigim, who are the three Sarigims that are from Yitzchak V'Yakov? The Hikafay Rachas Osa Nitsa Eloahi Mois. That's referring to the Mois. So the grapes that are starting to blossom, those are the Mois. If Shilu Eshkeleisel, Anovim, and when it says that the grapes had fully ripened, that's Eloah Shvatim, that's Klal Yisrael. So now Klal Yisrael was already fully ripened, that's the Shvatim. Rabbi Yeshua told Rabbi Eliezer, V'chimar Lo La'adam, Masha Hayas, if you have Rabbi Eliezer, you can have Rabbi Yeshua, even in Agadata. So in all the Lavdish Shasugis, there's always a machloik between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. He had it in Divrei Agada. So Rabbi Yeshua didn't even like Rabbi Eliezer's interpretation of the dream of the Sarah Mashkin. And the reason is, he said, because the dream, if it's going to have significance as a prophecy of a Nevuah, it should be telling us something that's going to happen. Everything that Rabbi Eliezer is interpreting in this dream happened already. Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov, that happened. The Imois happened. The Shvatim happened. It must be something that's going to happen in the future. Elo Geffen's at Torah. Geffen is referring not to the world, but to the Torah. Shalisha Sarigim is not Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov, Rabbi Yeshua said. Rather, Elo Moshe V'Haron and Miriam. V'hike Pirachas also Nitzo. That's not referring to the Imois, but rather Elo Sanhedrin. And if Shilu Eshkel Esel Anovim, Elo Atzadikim, so the Sarah Mashkim saw in his dream, he saw the future of Klal Yisrael. He saw the Torah, he saw Moshe, Aharon, Miriam, he saw the Sanhedrin, he saw the Tzadikim Shabachal, Dar V'dar. Rabbi Gamliel heard what Rabbi Eliezer said, and then he heard what Rabbi Yeshua said, and he said something that he often says in Shas, Adayin Srichan Anul Madai, that after all the nice pshatim, but we still have to come out, the best pshat is the pshat of Rabbi Lazar Amayidai, the Moikim Lekul B'chad Makan, because according to his pshat, all the Ramazim in this pasuk, as we'll see now, all related to one place. What does that mean? They're all b'chad makom. The mikdash, the melech, and the kohen gadol were all located in Yerushalayim. Also nitsa elu pirchei kohuna. It's referring to the young kohanim. Hifshilu eshkeleisel anavim elu nesachim. Interesting. The nesachim get an honorable mention in this dream, more so than the other karbanos. Pashut nesachim is just a reference to the things that were brought in the Beis HaMikdash, but regardless, you have to know why the Nesachim. I mean, we're dealing with grapes and wine, but Rav Shulman Levi, Maikim Lo B'Matanis, Rav Shulman Levi said a different, similar pshat. He said it's referring to different matanis that the Yidden got. Om Rav Shulman Levi, Geffen Zutair, Shalisha Sarigim Zeh Be'er, Amud Anon, Uma. Those are the three matanis, toivos that the Yidden got when they were in the Midbar. Vika Perachas also Nitzah Eila Bikurim. If Shiva 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 Anavim, again, Eilu Nesachim. Yir Rabba Amar, Geffen Eilu Yisrael. Rabbi Rabba said that the Geffen that the Sarah Mashkim saw was Klal Yisrael. As the Pasuk says, Geffen mi Mitzrayim Tasiya. That you see that the Jews of Mitzrayim were referred to as a Geffen. Geffen mi Mitzrayim Tasiya. Shloisha Sarigim. That's a reference to the Shalish Regolim. Vehika Perachas also Nitzah, the fruit are starting to buy. Higiyas Manim Shal Yisrael, Lifrais Valerbais. Vehenu Oim Ruvne Yisrael, Poru Vayishritzu. Also Nitzah, Higiyas Manim Shal Yisrael, Ligoel. Vehenu Oim Vies Nitzcham, Albigde Vichom Apusha Galti. If Shuvash Kulei Seu Anovim, Higiyaz Manashal Mitzrayim Lishtois Koisa Tareilo. Then when it says that the grapes will fully ripen, what it was referring to is that Mitzrayim now is going to have to drink a Koisa Tareilo. So in the olden days, when something bad happened, they would drink a Koisa Tareilo. So it's time for Mitzrayim to drink. I know the Rava. Rava said Shloisha Koisa Mitzrayim Mitzrayim Lama. Why the three mentions of Kois in the dream of the Sarah Mashkin, meaning after this pasuk that the Gemara keeps on darshaning, what does it say? It says that Yosef tells the Sarah Mashkin, you're going to pour now a kais to Pari, and it says three times in that pasuk the word kais. The reason is because the Sarah Mashkin dreams of Pari drinking a kais. It's not a kais of simcha, it's not a kais of bracha, but rather it's a kais atarelo. It's the bad type of glass of wine. And the reason there's three is because shloisha kais amuris from some echa shasabi me moisha, because Pari drank a kais atarelo in the times of Moshe. The echa shasabi me par nechev, the echa shasi the lishtoits, in koloiv they kechav, all the umais oilam, and the end of days are going to drink a kais atarelo. Amal, the Rab Abba, the Rab Yimir Barabba, Gigorish Lu, Rav Lahani Kroi, Rab Abba told Rab Yimir Barabba, after all these pshatim that we just mentioned, so he said that when Rav used to darshan these psukim, bagadeto kavosich darish lehu. He used to darshan it the way that you used to darshan it. Had Rabbi Yirmiyahu Barabba darshan, it was the last pshat. Gefen Eli Yisrael, Gefen Mitzrayim Tasir. So this last, more long-winded pshat, that was the pshat that Rav used to say as well. Amrav Shem Balakish, Umazuki, Gefen Nimshalah. This Klal Yisrael is Nimshal to a gash. We're, as a nation, we're compared to a Geffen. Why are we compared to a Geffen? Zmoiros Shabbat, the Zmoiros, the branches of the Geffen, Elu Balabatim. The Zmoiros are the Balabatim. Eshkoilos Shabbat, the Eshkoilos, the clusters of grapes, Elu Talmidei Chacham. They're the Talmidei Chacham. Alin Shabbat, the leaves of the vine, Elu Amei Ha'aretz. They're the Ameyoretz. And the Knoiknois Shabbat, these are these windy vines that go around the branches. Elu Reikonim Shebi Yisrael. The Hainu Desholcha Mitam. And this is what they meant when they used to send from Eretz Yisrael. Liboy Rachamim Iskali Al Alyo. The clusters should daven for the leaves. What does it mean that the clusters should daven for the leaves? So it's a mashal, it's a metaphor. What it means is the clusters are the Tamil Chachamim. They should daven for the leaves. They're the Ameyoretz. The Umali Alyo. Because if not for the leaves, like Miskaimo Iskali. You wouldn't have the cluster. What does this all mean? So it's worth seeing Rashi inside. It says Rashi, Umazu Yisrael, middle of the Yomid, Nimshlo Kegefen. As the Pasuk says, Gefen mi Mitzrayim Tasiyah. What does it mean that the nation is compared to a Geffen? What it means is that the Zmoiros Shabbat Elo Balabatim. The Zmoiros, the branches are the Balabatim. The Mahaz Moira Hazu, Moitzian Lulavim. Just like the Zmoira, it sprouts forth lulavin, va'alim, upri. Everything comes from the Zmoiros. The hu ikar agefen. It's the ikar of the gefen. Kach balibatim. So to the balibatim. Goim lechesed. Umachzikim yideaniim. Umefazrim amoinam lemalchus b'shalachim. Umeskaimen al yadam. So says Rashi, it's the ikar agefen because really that's the starting point. That's the basis. That's the foundation of Klal Yisrael. Without me kemach in Torah. Without what the balibatim contribute to Klal Yisrael, the chesed, the fact that the machzik deyanim, the mefazrim amoinam, you can't get started. Alin, who's the alin? Shebegefen soivlin haruach. The leaves, they protect the grapes. They soivl the ruach umaginim alu ashkoilos layakim shrav v'shemes v'ruchos, so that the elements, the weather, shouldn't affect it. Kach ameyoret, so to the ameyoret, charshim v'zoyrim v'koytzrim mashu tamida chachamim oichle. So that's true. They themselves are not learning Torah, but at the end of the day, let's be honest. If nobody was doing the work in the field, then it would be impossible to. Someone has to do it, right? So the Alim, they on some level, they protect the Eshkolis. So the Talmid Chachamim, they're the Eshkol. They're the focal point. But at the same time, the Zmoiros are the foundation. The Alim protect them. And it's all together. It's all together. The Ummah as a whole is compared to the Geffen because we all need each other. And if we don't all have each other, then it doesn't work. And Vahenu Desholchem Itam, Liboy Rachmi, Iskalya Al Alya, Dil Mole Alya, Loy Meskaimen Iskalya. Just practical. Either way, the pasuk continues. The Gemara does and quotes a pasuk. It says the ekroha li b'chamisha aser kasef. What does that mean? Amar Rabbi Yoichan Amishum Hashem Yaitzal. Ain't kira losh mechira. The word kira means mechira. Shenemar bekivri asher korisli. Yaakov Avinu said that I bought Maros HaMachpelah. This was his deal that he had with Esav. So he said he bought Maros HaMachpelah. He used the word asher korisli. So kira miloshin mechira. Ein kira el loshin mechira. B'chamisha asa. What does it mean that the ekra li b'chamisha asa? Kasa b'chamisha asa. B'chamisha asa menus. Shabbat nugul yisrael mi'misar. Say, Klai Yisrael were bought, so to speak, on the 15th day of Nisan. That's the day they left Mitzrayim. What does kesef mean? Kesef elu tzadikim. B'chinu oy Mitzrayim ha-kesef lakach bi'odai. Chaymer sa'oyrim v'lesach sa'oyrim. What does that mean? So a chaymer is equal to 30 sa. A lesech is equal to 15 sa. So chaymer sa'oyrim v'lesach sa'oyrim elu arbam v'chamisha tzadikim sheha'oyla miskaimim. These are the 45 tzadikim on which whose shoulders the world stands. The Inni Idea says the Pasukim Shloishim Kam Bechamisha Asa Beretz Yisrael. Meaning it's clear that this 45 is divided into two groups. This 30 and this 15. How do you know that? Because the Pasuk doesn't say 45. What it says is Chaymer and Lesach. Chaymer means 30, Lesach means 15. So 30 and 15, back them up, you end up with 45. But clearly there's two groups. There's the 30 group and there's the 15 group. So it says the Gemara, the Inni Idea in Shloishim Kam Bechamisha Beretz Yisrael, or the reverse, Shloishim Beretz Yisrael Bechamisha. Also, when it says the echo shloishim hakesef ashluch oisoi beis Hashem el hayoitzer, so it says over there 30 the ashluch oisoi beis Hashem. So you have 30 and beis Hashem have yoyim shloishim beretz Yisrael. The chamisha aser kan. Amar Abaya said, if you want to know where these 45 tzaddikim are, the rubayu mishtakchi bebnei knishta, most of them could be found in the beis haknesses, the tusi after, which is underneath. The after. Rashi says, after means yotzia of Perek HaMoicher as HaBayis fame. That's like one of these attached chambers. More than somebody sells a bayis, is the yotzia included in the Mechir, beginning of the fourth Perek. Yesterday we discussed the end of Chesek Sabbatim. This is the very next Mishnah. Yeah, but either way, for Rubayu Mishtakhi, Bebek Nishta the Tusi after. What's the significance of that? Said Ben Yoyada says, you know what the significance is? You would think that where you're going to find these 45 tzaddikim on the Mizrach land, right? Or somewhere in Tafki in a very chasha place. Says, it's not always the way it is. Meaning, there's a concept of a tzaddik nistar also. So if you're thinking of who the 45 are, sometimes they're Bahaltan Eden. They sit, the Tusi after, those are the ones that can be members of this 45. Im toiv be'enechem, havu schari, ve'im loy chadalu, v'yishkulu es schari, Shloishim Kosef. What does that pasuk mean? So it seemed, Rashi says that this is a nevuah of Zechariah, and it's related to the Ovdei Kechavim, and somehow Hashem says that because of the fact that you didn't do what you were supposed to do, Vayishkelu Aschari Shloishim Kesef. I'm taking my 30 Kesef. What does this mean? Rabbi Yehuda says, Elu Shloishim Tzadikim Yisraelim Shumay Yisraelim Askayim Valer. That it's a remez to the 30 Tzadikei Umay Yisraelim that allowed the Umay Yisraelim to stand. So we have 45 Tzadikim, the Umay Yisraelim have 30 Tzadikim. So there's 30 tzaddikim that the Umay Yisraelim have, and that's what Zechariah was referring to when he mentioned Vayishkulu Eschari Shloishim Kosef. Ula says Elu Shloishim Mitzvahs Shekiblu Aleim Benayach. It's referring to the 30 mitzvahs Benayach. So we're familiar with the 7 mitzvahs Benayach. Now you know the rest of the story. So there's the Shloishim mitzvahs Benayach. So what are the 30 mitzvahs Benayach? So if you have an art scroll Gemara on the bottom, they bring from the Ramami Pano, they list out the 30. Ramami Pano had a cheshbon, something worth visiting at time that we have a little bit more time, but regardless, 30 mitzvahs b'reinayach, but the aim mekaymen el. Yeah, so some of them, they're not mitzvahs that we would necessarily have in the Torah. They're all mitzvahs, obviously, but not necessarily 30 of the 613 mitzvahs. The aim mekaymen el shloisha, and they're only mekayim 3. So which 3 of the 30 are they mekayim? Number one, she'en koisven ksuba l'scharim. Number one, that there's no teyeva marriage, which clearly seems to be suggesting, says Rashi, the afal pisha chshudim l'mishkav zachar, even though the chashav ha'mishkav zachar u'miyachadim lehem zachar l'tashmishan, but at the same time, einoy kalus roish b'mitzvah zu kol kach sheyichtuvu l'chop ksuba. So they're so depraved, but FLP came never to the point where they would actually sanction, where they would write a ksuba for such a marriage. That's number one. Number two, v'achash in shoyklam sarah meis b'makulam. They don't weigh human flesh and sell it in the shuk, and sell it in the butcher store, sell it in the market. Again, it's the same cheshmen. That even though they were cannibals. They ate human flesh. These are the pagans of once upon a time. But even they had some sort of sensitivity. So you're not going to find it on the shelf at your local supermarket. So because there was an element of sensitivity to it. And then finally, the third mitzvah is that they're mechabed the Torah. So these are three. Again, these are not three of the Tayyak mitzvahs. Ain't koisvahs suba l'schar. You got the gist. The point is, there's 30 things that they were commanded to do. Out of the 30 that they were supposed to do, there's only three that they do exhale. So either way, before we go weiter, just a few ha'aras. So, out of order. We mentioned in the Gemara this idea of there being 45 tzaddikim. Chomer sa'orim, v'lesach sa'orim in the context of kesef, which is a mushal to the tzaddikim. And we see from here that there's a chomer, which is 30 sa'. Plus a lesach, which is 15 sa of not barley, but rather tzaddikim. So you have 45 tzaddikim, but broken into two groups. There's a 30 and there's a 15. But we know from the pasuk that says that either way, there seems to be this idea of 45 tzaddikim. So the truth is, we're all familiar with lamed vav tzaddikim, but where do you? But where do you have this idea of so the truth is like this. There's a few chazals. Number one, there's a medrash in Parshas Vayera. The medrash says Vavram Hoyoyia. So the context over there is Parshas Vayera. Before Hashem is going to destroy Sodom, he says, "I'm a chassid in Avram. Is it possible for me not to tell Avram Avinu what happened?" Va'avram hoyoyia l'gagodol. Incidentally, we spoke out earlier in the week. It's just popped into my head. We spoke out earlier in the week that the exchange between Avram Avinu and Melech Stoim. So Melech Stoim told Avram Avinu, "Tein li anefesh v'rechush kach." Loch. And it seems that Avram Avinu gave the nefashos back to Melech Stein. And the truth is, Chazal say there was a shtickle tie in Avram Avinu, because Avram Avinu was in the Kirov business. And for him to take those nefashos and to give them back to Melech Stein was a questionable move. Maybe he should have taken those nefashos for himself, and he should have gone, and he should have tried being makar of them. Says the Heilige Chacham Sofer that Avram Avinu had some chalish sadas for what he did. He felt back. In the back of his mind, he thought that maybe what he did wasn't 100% true. When it came time to destroy Sodom, Avram HaKadosh Baruch Hu was... What became evident at the time was that the Yidden of that the Stoyim was so steeped in Tumah, they were so gone, they were so rachik from having any hope and any chance of anything good coming from them. At that point, Avram Avinu was okay, because he realized that he would have never been able to do anything with these nefashos either. So says the Chassam Sofer, that's what Hashem said, "Hamechasa anime Avram." Should I not tell Avram what I'm about to do? Why? Why does Avram have to know? Why was it necessary? So Pasha Avram was going to daven, or whatever the cheshbon was. Says the Chassam Sofer, another element over here. Let me give Avram Avinu the chizik. Let him realize he doesn't have to have chalishas adas, because he wasn't nichshol. Nothing happened. At the end of the day, there was nothing that was ever going to... But either way, the Pasha, "Hamechasa anime Avram, v'Avram." Says the Medrash, he was telling them that the world would never be lacking 30 tzaddikim like Avram Avinu. Rab Yudin v'Rab Acha b'Shem Rab Alexandri Meisel Mihocha v'Avram Hoya Yiyye. The word Yiyye, Yud Eser, V'Hei Chomish, V'Yud Eser, V'Hei Chomish, 10 plus 5 plus 10 plus 5, back of the envelope arithmetic, we end up as 30. So Avram Hoya Yiyye. Every generation has 30 tzaddikim on the level of Avram Avinu. Incidentally, this is one of the two makoros in the beginning of Masechtas Nazir, Rav Barpad and Rav Masna. How you know Stam Nazir Shloshim Yom? Kodesh Yiyah. It's the same word, Yiyah. But either way, so there's an idea of 30 tzaddikim like Avram Avinu. This medrash is in Parshas Noach as well. Rav Chizkiya b'shem Rav Yirmiya Amar. Kach Amar Rav Shem Ben Yechoy. Eino oylam yochoy lamoid bepachos mishloshim tzaddikim k'Avram Avinu. The world cannot stand if there's less than 30 tzaddikim like Avram Avinu. Then Rav Shem Ben Yechoy said, "Italsin inun if there's 30." I know Brit Treminoin. Me and my son was Rav Shimon are two of the 30. Then Esrin, if there's 20, I know Brit Minoin. Then Masari Inun, and if there's only 10, I know Brit Minoin. Then Chamishi Inun, I know Brit Minoin. Then Trin, if there's only 2, I know Brihain. Then Chatu, and what if there's 1? I know who. Then it's me. It's interesting. This Gemara is also Gemara. Well, I know. It's also a Gemara. Masech the Sukkah, that Mem Hei on the way. The Gemara brings this, that second part, where Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said that if there's 2 Chashuva people, people, it's me and my son. The same exact Gemara. The Gemara over there asks Akasha, really? Is there only two? How could there be only two? Abaya said, didn't Abaya say, the Pasuk says, Ashrei kol choyche loy. The word loy is begematria, talsan v'shi sahavas. You have another gematria. It's gematria 36, and we see from here, loy pachis alma mi talsan v'shi sa tzadiki. It always has to be 36, and the Gemara gives an answer. Different levels of tzadikim, but the point is, in our Gemara, we had 45 tzadikim. You have two medrashim, a medrash in Parashas Noach, and a medrash in Parashas Vayera that talk about 30 tzaddikim, but not just 30 tzaddikim. 30 tzaddikim like Avram Avinu, and then you have over here the Gemara Masechta Sukkah, it's also Gemara in Sanhedrin, Tzadik Zayin, and Mabez, and Perek Chelek, that everybody knows, and that is the Lamed Vav tzaddikim, the 36 tzaddikim. So is it 45? Is it 30? Is it 36? But just one interesting thing, that the medrash in Parashas Vayera, Parashas Noach says, tzaddikim, like Avram Avinu. So I saw in the In Eliyahu, on this Gemara right here, so he quotes this Medrash, and he says, maybe that's the Pshana, what Chazal say, Chayev Adam Lohimar. A person has to say, Masa Yagiyu Masai L'Masai Avoysai. When am I going to be Kamasiya? When am I going to be like Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov? So Pashit, that just means like, I want to be a Choshev Yid. He says, no, there's a Tifkite over here, because in every generation, a person could be like Avram Avinu. This is actually a Madrega that you can strive for. So this is a real thing. I want to be one of the 30 tzaddikim that like pachas alma. I want to be from the Avram Hoya Yia Yia Begamatria Talsin, that every single door has 30 tzaddikim like Avram Avinu. That is the pnimius of Masai Yagia Masai L'Masai Avoisai. He says that if there's 30 tzaddikim in every generation like Avram Avinu, presumably there are people that could be on the Madrega of Yitzchak, and there are presumably people that could be on the Madrega of Yaakov, and that's Masai Yagia Masai, not just like Avram Avinu, but K'Masai Avoisai. So he wants to answer Rabbi Yeshua's Kashan Rabbi Yehuda. At the beginning of the daf, so Rabbi Eliezer darshan in the pasuk that the Geffen is referring to the world. And what are the three branches, the three Sarigim? It's Avram, it's Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And what Rabbi Yeshua tell Rabbi Eliezer is, what, he's having a dream about bygones being, this is already Madahava Hava, this happened already. Why is the Saramashkim dreaming about something that happened in the past? Dreams are supposed to be more blueprint for the future, says the Ein Eliyahu. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov is not just about the past, because every single generation has 30 tzaddikim like Avram Avinu, and there could be tzaddikim like Yitzchak and Yaakov, and that's Masai Yagiyu Masai L'Masai Avoisai. That's the teretz to Rabbi Yeshua's kasha on Rabbi Eliezer. Gishmak. So sometimes he answers Tosfos kasha. He's answering Rabbi Yeshua's kasha. Gishmak. Rabbi Yeshua's kasha on Rabbi Eliezer. That's the first order. The second aura is, so the Pasuk says, and this is really the more general context, Vayeyovek, Vayeyovek Ish Imoy. So there's a battle between Yaakov Avinu and Sarishal Esav, and Yaakov Avinu is the one that wins the battle. Right, the Gemara started off when it says, Vayaser Amalach. It's not clear a little from the psukim any idea mi nasasar lami, but kishahu oimer kisarisa imalikim hevi oimer Yaakov nasasar lamalach. And this was at first glance was a very big chiddush. The fact that Yaakov Avinu was able to defeat Sarishal Esav, I mean, it came as news to the Sarishal Esav. He wasn't expecting this, right? The pasuk says he realized kila yuchala. He thought he was going to be able to defeat him very, very easily. I mean, Yaakov Avinu at the end of the day is a mortal. He's a man. This is a malach. So how does a man fight against Malach? And this was a very big chiddush, ma'isa of the similar banim. But the point is that at the end of the day, Yaakov was able to defeat him. So I was thinking, and this is very much above my pay grade, but just one ha'ara based on a line that I saw in the Archaim HaKadosh right here in Parshas Vayishlach. And that is the Rambam in Hilchas Yisoydi HaTorah. It's Perik Beis Halacha Zayin. So the Rambam talks about Malachim. And you find, this was a little bit yesterday's daf as well, that there are different places in Tanakh and Chazal, the Malachim are referred to by different names. Says the Rama, Shinu Shema is HaMalachim. The reason that you find different names from Malachim is Al Shem Malusamu. It's based on the level of the Malach. So we know Malach can't go from level to level. A Malach is an Oymed. Chassam Sofer brings throughout his forum from his Rebbe Da'afla that's the Pshat in Chazal. Imdoima Harav Malach Elikim Tzvakiz Yivakish Torah Mipiu. If your Rebbe is like a Malach, you should learn Torah from. What does it mean? Your Rebbe is like a Malach? What if he's just a big tzaddik? What does it mean if your Rebbe is like a malach? Emphasis on malach. He says because a malach is an oymed. A malach can't go from madrega to madrega. He has no bechir, he has no free will. So a malach is created to operate on a certain level, and that's the level that he's always going to operate on. He said a Rebbe has to be an oymed. A Rebbe has to be someone that's 100% dedicated to his Talmidim and not concerned with his own aliyos and not concerned with his own steiging. He says, if a Rebbe is like a Malach, he's an Oymed. He says, I'm giving myself up 100% for my Talmidim. I'm not worried about my own steiging. Then Yavakish Torah Mipiyu. But if he's concerned about his own steiging, I'll Yavakish Torah Mipiyu. But regardless, that's why you find some Malachim that are Nikron Chayos HaKodesh. And what's the Chayos HaKodesh? That's the highest level of a Malach. And then you find, says the Rambam, another 9 Madrigas. He singles out the Chayos HaKodesh, and then you find the Oifanim, the Erelim, Chashmalim, Srofim, Malachim, Elohim, Bnei Elohim, Kruvim, the Ishim. Says the Rambam, Kol Edu Asara Hashem Shenikru Mema Malachim Hashem Esra Mailush Olehem Heim. These 10 names represent 10 Madregas. Umailush Eilam Mailam Imenu, the one that's the highest, meaning the one that's so high that the only one that's higher than it is Milos HaKel Baruch Hu, he Milos HaTzurois, Shenekras Chayos. So the Chayos, the Chayos HaKodesh, they're the highest level. L'fichach Nemra B'Nevuah. And therefore you find where the Chayos HaKodesh are mentioned in Tanakh, say, for Yecheskel, is Shehen Tachas HaKiseh, that they're underneath the Kiseh, because they're so high, the only thing higher than them is the Kiseh HaKovet. Umailo HaSiris, the lowest level, relative, comparatively speaking, is Milas Hatsura Shenekras Ishim. Vehema Malochim Shemidabrim Hanavim Vinirim Lehem Bemara Hanavua. Either way, says the Rambam, there's 10 Madregos of Malochim. The highest is the Chayos HaKodesh. The lowest is the Ishim. There are 8 levels in between. The Chayos HaKodesh's level is so high that the only thing higher is HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And that's why whenever the Chayos HaKodesh are mentioned in Nach, says the Rambam, you find that they're Tachas HaKiseh. The Tachas HaKiseh ben Malosam, because there's nothing higher than them. The only thing higher than them is the Kiseh HaKovet. It's Kaviyachal himself. The lowest Madrega is the Madrega of Ishim. That's the Madrega, says the Rambam, that could sometimes manifest itself in a physical world. Him HaMalochim Shemidabrim Manavim V'nir Lehem B'mara HaNavua. And that's why they're called Ishim. They're called Ishim Shemalosam Kroiva Mimailas Dasa Adam, because their Madrega is somewhat similar to the Madrega of Adam. They're not Adam, they're much higher than Adam, but they can relate to Adam. They can come b'nevuah. There are times that they can appear on some level in a physical nature. Either way, Yaakov Avinu fights with a Malach. And when the Pasuk describes the Malach for the first time, what does the Pasuk say? But we know it wasn't an Ish. It was really a Malach. So if it was a Malach, why does it say Ish? It says, you know why it says Ish? Because this Malach was on the level of Ishim, like the Rambam says in Perik Beis from Hilchos Yisoidei HaTorah. And being that it was on the level of Ishim, that's why it's referred to as Ish. That's what the Rambam says. Ishim is really from the word Ish. It's from the word Ishim, Malosam Kroivam, Imailas Dasa Adam, because it's the one that's closest to the Milo of Ish. So even though the Pasuk says Ish, it's true, but at the same time, the reason it says, you know, in the beginning of the parasha, parasha's Vayishlach begins, Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim. Rashi says, what does Malachim mean? Malachim Mamish. So in the beginning of the parasha, it says Malachim. And here, when we're referring to the Malach, we refer to it as Ish. It's not a kasha, it's different levels. There's a level of Malach, and there's a level of Ishim. But either way, this Malach right here was Ish. The reason he was Ish, because he was on the Madrega of Ishim. What about Yaakov Avinu? Yaakov Avinu is a person, that's true. But at the same time, Yaakov Avinu is not really a person. We know, we had it yesterday's daf, the Mustyukne Shal Yaakov is Chokuk Weir, it's Chokuk Tachas Kisei HaKovet. That means Yaakov Avinu, the immortal side of Yaakov Avinu, is the Madrega of Tachas Kisei HaKovet. When the Rambam talks about the highest level of Malachim, it's the Chayos HaKodesh, he says it's the level that the only thing higher than that is HaKadosh Baruch himself. Why is Lefichach, says the Rambam, Nema B'Nevuah, Shehein Tachas HaKisei? Yaakov Avinu's level is Tachas HaKiseh. That's what Chazal said. Most Yukna is Tachas Kiseh HaKoveh. So Yaakov Avinu's level is a level of Tachas HaKiseh. Whereas the Malach's level was the level of Ish. Vayyovik Ishimoy. He was Ishim. Shemalosam Kravim Malas Das Adam. So it's Pasha why Yaakov Avinu was Kisarisa Malikim Alanoshim. The reason he was able to overcome him is because it's true. The Malach was a Malach, but Yaakov Avinu's level of Malach was a much higher level. Yaakov Avinu's the level of Tachas Kiseh HaKoveh. HaKavod, this is me'ain the level of Chayas HaKadosh, as opposed to the Malach, whose level is a level of Ish. That's the second Ha'ara. The third Ha'ara is, so we mentioned at the end of yesterday's daf, and then we'll do part two of the daf, but we mentioned at the end of yesterday's daf, this fascinating idea, and that is that in the Loisa say of Gidan Asha, there's a Maisa of this similar banim to the future of Klal Yisrael. Spoke at the Ramban's Hakdama to Parshas Vayishlach, that this is the Parshas HaGolus, that in this Parsha there's a remez to all the happenings that the Yidden were going to have when they encounter Esau. We mentioned the Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Gimel, who talks about the importance of the Mitzvah Gidan Asha. I mean, the truth is, if you think about it for a minute, just to add a little bit to what we mentioned yesterday, and that is that the loisa say of Gidan Asha, we've said it so many times, the third mitzvah in the Torah, according to the Chinuch. I think it's something worth thinking about. Right? The Rambam in Perek Tes, Hilchas Malachim, tells us the history, the genesis, pun intended, of the mitzvah. Says the Rambam, Al Shisha Dvarim Nitztava Adam Arishai. Adam Arishai was commanded six mitzvahs. Al Avodah Zarah, Val Berachas Hashem, Val Shvichas Damim, Val Gilui Arayos, Val Agezel, Val Adinim. I'm skipping. Hoysev Lenoyach. So Adam Rishon had not Sheva mitzvah, six mitzvahs. Then Noach had Eva Menachai, that's the seventh mitzvah. Shenemer Achbasar ben Nafshoi, Domoy Lo Yisaychelu, Nimsu Sheva mitzvahs. So it comes out by the time of Noach, there were seven mitzvahs. Thus, the Sheva mitzvahs ben Enoch. V'chein hoya adava b'chol oivu. And this is the way it was. Throughout the world, says the Rambam, Ad Avram. Nitztavi Yeser Elu B'milu. Avram Avinu came, Avram got the mitzvah of Milu. V'was Baal Shachos, he also davened Shachos. V'Yitzchak came, V'Hifrish Meiser. He added Meiser. And he davened as the sun was setting, Mincha. V'Yakov, Hoysef Gid Hanosha, V'Hispalol Arvis. Then the Rambam says, U'B'Mitzrayim Nitztava Amram B'Mitzvahs Yitzeres. That when the Yidden were Mitzrayim, Amram had more mitzvahs. What are the mitzvahs Yitzeres? So that's you do it from Reb Chaim Briska, Chuppah, the Kedushin, etc. Ad Shabbat Moshe Rabbeinu, spoke to that in the beginning of Sachtas Kedushin, in the intro, I think. Ad Shabbat Moshe Rabbeinu, V'Nishlam V'Toyra Al Yadoy, until Moshe Rabbeinu came, and the Torah became Nishlam. But either way, Gid Hanosh is literally from the first mitzvahs of the Torah. And it would seem that there's some message of tremendous significance that it's literally, historically speaks from the first mitzvahs we ever had. I mean, it's an abstract law. And it's something that, you know, unless you're a sheikh, you don't fully appreciate. And especially today, where we just get rid of that whole side of the animal. So we don't even deal with it. But historically speaking, the mitzvah of Gidan Asher was so significant. This goes back to Parshas Vayishlach Yaakov Avinu, the Rambam, when he tells the history of mitzvahs. Right in the beginning, there was the mitzvah of Gidan Asher. I mean, it's up there with the Sheva mitzvahs B'nei Noach, Shvichas Damim, and Gilui Arayis, and Gezel, Avodah Zarah. It's fascinating. But the point is, the way the Chinuch explains it and the way the Rabban explains it, in the mitzvah of Gidan Asher, there's some lesson that's very, very important for Klal Yisrael. There's a lesson that we need to take with us from the mitzvah of Gidan. What's that lesson? The lesson is that even though we're going to fight and we're going to struggle and there's going to be inquisitions and expulsions and holocausts and churbanos, etc., but at the same time, at the end of the day, the Malach saw that he couldn't defeat Yaakov. Yeah, Yaakov was limping and there was a Gid that was Nasha from its real place, but at the end of the day, and this is the story of Klal Yisrael, and this is so important, it's so significant that it's the third mitzvah, the third from the first mitzvahs that were ever nitztava. But just to end and wrap this up with one halakha Chassam Sofer, I saw the Chassam Sofer right here on this Gemara in Masechtos Chulin. So the Chassam Sofer says like this: we know there are 248 mitzvahs aseh. This 365 mitzvahs lois aseh. The Marsha says that's pshat nimnu v'gamru. Right, there was a Shaila 3. They argued, would it have been better had we been born? Or would it? Tamid of Shabbat, Tamid of Hill. Noach Le'adam Shenivra, Yosef Shalaynivra, or Noach Le'adam Shalaynivra, Yosef. And it says, Nimnu Vagamru, they counted, and they realized, Noach Le'adam Shalaynivra. He says, what's the pshat? He says, because had we not been born, so we could not have done the mitzvah essay, but we also could not have done the mitzvah lois essay. Now that we're born, so we have opportunities to do mitzvah essay, we also have opportunities to do mitzvah lois essay. Which one's more? Are there more essays? Meaning, could we do more good? Was there more damage to be done? So says the Marsha, there's 248 mitzvahs essay. There's 365 mitzvahs lois essay. That means there's more damage that could be done. If there's more damage could be done, if you just want to play the odds, it would make more sense. Noyach loy la'adam shaloy nivra. It's better we don't be born. Why risk It's you just don't have good odds. 365 versus 248. So he says that's nimnu v'gamra. Nimnu v'gamra would mean they count. Pasha means they took a vote. Says the Marsha in his Chedushia Godis. And then the Masechtas Makis, nimnu v'gamra, they counted. They counted 248 mitzvahs essay. Then they counted 365 mitzvahs lois essay. And they realized there's more lois essays than essay, more bad that could be done than good. And as a result, noyach leila adam shalai nivra yaisa misha nivra. But we know there's also 365 days in the year. Says the Chassam Sofer, kasfu harishayim. Shisa Gidin, the 365 Gidin are connected to Shisa Lavin. And it's also connected to 365 days of the year. So if the 365 Lavin, let's focus on that part, are connected to 365 days in the year, on a deeper level, every Gid, or every Lav, I'm sorry, corresponds to one day. So every single Lav, 365 Lavin, corresponds to one of the 300. So literally, if you knew how to do this exercise, you can start connecting dots between the 365 lavin and the 365 days. Says the Chassam Sofer, the kosfu hamikubalim. The mikubalim say that the loisa say of Gidhanosha is kenegi. You know which day on the calendar? Tisha B'Av. It's connected the ninth day of Av. And that's why the Mekubalim say, Ha'eichel b'Tisha B'Av is Ka'eichel Gid Hanasha. So he says, what's the Pshat Chassam Sofer? What's the Remez? Why would Gid Hanasha be the Loisasi from all the 306? Why not Shatnes? Why not something else? You know why? Because in Tisha B'Av, as much as there was Churban in Tisha B'Av, there was a tremendous Nechama in Tisha B'Av. The Nechama was that Hitel Chamasai Al Eitzim V'Avonim, but Klai Yisrael themselves were saved. We were able to make it out alive. It says the Chassam Sofer, that is the message of the Gid Hanasha. The message of the Gid Hanasha is Yarkilo Yuchaloi, that he realized at the end of the day, as much as he tried and he fought, but at the end of the day, Klai Yisrael was able to emerge. They were able to come out. Yaakov, he walked away limping. It's true. We lost the Beis HaMikdash, and then we lost another Beis HaMikdash. He says, that's the Oymik in the Shitas HaChachamim, that it's both thighs, it's the right and the left, it's connected to two Batim Mikdash. Dvarim, classic Chassam Sofer. Dvarim Neflam. But either way, he said, and then there's some Ramazim here. Again, it's worth seeing. It says the Chassam, that's the point. The point is that you have 365 Lavin, Kenega, the 365 days, but more accurately, you have the Lav of Gid HaNasha, which corresponds to Tisha B'Av. What's the message? The message is that on Tisha B'Av, which is the day of, right, the Goyim says, when do we say Nachim? You say it by Mincha. Why do you say Nachim by Mincha on Tisha B'Av? You should say it by, says the Goyim, because Mincha time is when the Churban Beis HaMikdash started. We know the Ikar Churban Beis HaMikdash happened on the 10th day of Av. Rabbi Yochanan said, had he been there and he had a vote, he would have voted not for Tisha B'Av, but Asar B'Av. His vote would have been that it should be the 10th day of Av. But why? Because that's when the Ikkes Reiv happened. When did it start? It really started in the afternoon. It says the Goyim, because Churban Beis HaMikdash started in the afternoon, that's where we say Nachim. That's when we're supposed to say Nachim, just the opposite, right? That's when the Churban started. Then why are you saying Nachim, which is Dvarim of Nechama and Chizuk, Dafka when the Churban started? Says the Goyim, and take a look at this Medrash, that David HaMelech saw Baruch HaKadosh Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed, and he's saying Shira. Why do you sing Shira? Because he realized that when Hashem is going to be really angry, what's going to happen to Klai Yisrael? They're going to emerge limping. Okay, fine. Vayiga b'kaf yarech Yaakov. That, something bad is going to happen. There's going to be Churban Beis HaMikdash, but at the end of the day, vayarkilo yuchaloi, they'll never be able to defeat Klai Yisrael. So there's a tremendous necham in Churban Beis HaMikdash as well. The necham is that we're still around to tell the story, and that in and of itself is mind-blowing, and that in and of itself is tremendous Dibrei Chizuk. That's the story of the Gid Hanasha. We now return to our regular program, which is intense slumbus. Either way, says the Gemara on that note. So the halacha of Gid Hanasha is Noyeg Behema, it's Noyeg Bechaya, as per the Mishnah, Peitas Amid Beis, the Einoy Noyeg Ba'oif, but it's not Noyeg Ba'oif, and the reason is, Mepinei She'ein Loy Kaf, and the Pasuk, when it mentions the Loisase of the Gid Hanasha, so what does it say? Al Kim Lo Yoichu B'nei Yisrael, as Gid Hanasha, Asher Al Kaf HaYorech, has to be on the Kaf of the Yorech, so we'll see more of the technicalities of Gid Hanasha and tomorrow's stuff, but for now, you need physically for there to be a Kaf HaYorech, so that's Basar, that's shaped somewhat like a kaf, like a spoon, like a cup, that's around the thigh of the animal. An oif doesn't have that, and because an oif doesn't have that, it's just physically excluded from the halacha of Gid Hanasha. Frank the Gemara, really? An oif doesn't have it? But if you look at a bird, you'll see there is flesh around its yerech. So the Gemara says, is slave la yogel? It has it, but it's not round enough for it to be considered kaf. You have to know exactly what kaf is. The point is that what the oif has is not considered kaf. What if an oif has it and it is rounded? Or is slave la behem of la yogel? Or an oif does not have it? My basa didei as lina basa mine as lina. Do you say that being that behemoths usually have a kaf, therefore there's always an isigid anasha with a kaf, even though punk you found a behemoth that doesn't have it, but at the end of the day, it's the min of behem and chaya that have the halacha of gidan asha? No, you go basur didei. You look at each individual animal and you ask yourself, does it have it or not have it? And if that's the case, you might have a behem and a chaya that doesn't have a kaf, thus you won't have the halacha of gidan asha. You might have an oif that does have a kaf, thus you will have the halacha of gidan asha. The Gemara says, teiku. V'noyeg v'shtoh. The Mishnah said that the halacha of gidan asha applies to a shlil. Rabbi Yehuda said, "Einoy noyeg b'shlil," and then the Mishnah said, "V'chelboy motor." So really, two halachas. Number one, machloikis Tanakama, who we'll see in the Gemara, is Rameir, Stamish is Rameir, and Rabbi Yehuda, whether the halachas of gidan asha relate to a shlil. Shlil is a fetus. Halacha b'mayaskina, where somebody shechted an animal, and there was a ben pakua, there was a live, full-term animal inside. Does that animal, that fetus, have the iser of gidan asha? Meaning, is it asa to eat the gidan asha of that animal or not? The Tanakhama says, "V'noyeg b'shlil." There is an iser. You're not allowed to eat the gidan asha, even of a shlil, even of a ben pakur. Yehuda says, "No." Then the Mishnah says, "V'chelboy muter," that the chelev of the shlil is going to be mutter, says the Gemara. On that note, Amar Shmuel said, "V'chelboy muter l'divrei hakol." It's not mutter only according to Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, but rather it's mutter l'divrei hakol. So the Gemara says, "Demai." When Shmuel said chelboy mutter, what was he referring to? Ilei the shlil. Did he mean the chelav of the shlil? Which at first glance it sounds like is what the Mishnah is saying. But what's the Mishnah saying? The noyig b'shlil, noyig what? Gidanosh is noyig b'shlil. Rabbi Yehuda omer ainu noyig b'shlil. The gidanosh is not noyig b'shlil. The chelboy of the shlil is mutter. Meaning it sounds like everybody agrees that, even though there's a shiloh, what about the gidanosh of the shlil? But as it relates to the chelav of the shlil, doesn't seem to be any shiloh at all. But the Gemara said it can't be. It's not true. Even though that sounds like the case when you read the Mishnah, and it certainly sounds like what Shmuel was saying. I mean, you have the Mishnah that seems to be saying that, and now Shmuel said it, so for sure that's what it means, right? But the Gemara says, no, it's not true. Because Rameya says it's a Mr. Gidanosha when it comes to the Shul, and it's a Mr. Chela when it comes to the Shul. Rameya says, you don't have Gidanosha by the Shul, you don't have a Mr. Chela by the Shul either. Machlekes Rameya and Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, and Machlekes Rameya Yehuda in the Brice is referring to a Ben Pekua. Who's Rameir Lashitasai? Rameir Lashitasai in Perik Beim Makasha. Rameir holds you need shchita on a ben pakua. So being that you need shchita, it's a regular animal. If it's a regular animal, then there's an isachelev, there's an isachedanosha. Rabbi Yehuda is the chachomim of Perik Beim Makasha that holds you don't have to shech the ben pakua. A ben pakua becomes mutter with the shchita of its mother. So if it doesn't need its own shchita, we don't look at it as an animal unto itself. Remember the Rambam, Ubi Yerechimai, why there's no Isra of Isra Vesmanoi, Lezishchit Ubi Yemecha. So all that right, but we look at it as just Yerechimai. So if we don't look at it as an animal for itself, it doesn't have an Isra Gidanasha, it doesn't have an Isra Chelev. But the point is that when Shmuel said, Chel by Mutti, couldn't have meant Chel by Mutti, Ledivri Akol, Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda, because it's a Mefurish of Braisa, that according to Rameir that holds as an Isra Gidanasha, by a ben pakur, there's also an isachel. So what did the Mishnah mean when it said v'chel bay mutter? V'chel bay mutter was all in Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda ayim einu noyeg b'shlil v'chel bay mutter. But a mayor that holds that there's an isachel that also with the shlil would hold, the chelav is going to be aser as well. So the Gemara says, v'elo chel bay digid. Maybe what he meant was something else. He didn't mean the chelav as in the chalavim of every animal that we know is aser, where if it'd be a behemoth's kachim, it would go on the mizbech. But he means the fats of the gidan asha itself. So around the gidan asha, there are certain fats. And perhaps what he meant to say was that everybody agrees that those fats are mutter. But the Gemara says, it can't be Shmuel said that either. Because a miflik ligibah, that's also machloikis. Oh, and by the way, it's machloikis Ramei Rabbi Yehuda as well. The Tanya, we learned in the Braiso, gidan asha, mechateit acharav. That when it comes to the gidan asha, so you have to remove the gid. So the gid, of course, is the sciatic nerve, but it's not enough to just remove the part of the nerve that's exposed. But rather, what you need to do is you have to dig. You have to go, you have to be mechatet acharav. You have to make sure that you dig in and take out even the part of the gid that's embedded, it's enmeshed together with the meat. That's Divrei Rav Meir. Rabbi Yehuda, the Chaytach Sham LeMeikar. Sorry, you have to remove the fats as well. Rabbi Yehuda says, Gavim Mayam HaShoifi. No, you just have to level off. You just have to take the part of the sciatic nerve that's not inside the meat. You just have to take the top of it. Additionally, you don't have to remove any of the fats. What do you see from here? You see there's a machlokes Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, whether you have to remove the fats of the Gid HaNasha. You don't have to remove the fats. Rav Meir said clearly, Mechateit Acherav. Number one, you have to remove the entire Gid. And number two, V'choytech Sham LeMeikar. You have to get all the fat out. Rabbi Yehud is the one that said, he's more lenient. But Rabbi is machmer. So how could Shmuel say that chelboi mutter, ledivrei hakol, everybody holds the chelov as mutter? We're not sure what he means. That maybe he means the chelov of the Gid HaNasha. It's not true. Not everybody holds the chelov of the Gid HaNasha as mutter. Rab Meir says clearly in a brisa that the chelov of the Gid HaNasha is also. So the Gemara says, "Leilim chelbi the Gid." Maybe really what Shmuel was referring to was the chelov of the Gid. Maybe Shmuel, the Rab Meir, the Rabbanan us. Shmuel, when he said everybody holds the chelov as muti, meant on the doyraisa level, on the biblical level. Everybody holds as mutter. I didn't Rav Meir say mefurish mechatet acharav b'chol mokim shahu v'chaytech shamloi meikare. Yeah, Shmuel's might that the Rav Meir holds it's awesome in the Rabbanon, but that's only on a Rabbanon level. Shmuel was saying chelbei mutter l'kuliyama on the doyraisa level. I'm going to the doyraisa. V'shamloi mutter, the shemen, the fat of the Gid HaNasha is mutter. The Yisrael Kedoshim Nagu Bayisr. Says the Gemara, my love, Rav Meir, doesn't sound like this is Rav Meir. I mean, who's the one that holds its osir? It's Rav Meir that holds its osir. And Rav Meir said mefurish that really it's mutter. It's just Yisrael Kedoshim that are Nagu Bayisr. So that's what Shmuel meant. Everything, we can reconcile everything. Shmuel that said everybody holds the chelev as mutter was referring to the chelev, the fats, the chalovim of the Gid HaNasha. Everybody holds midiraisa, it's mutter. The fact that you have a Rav Meir and a Braisa that says it's osir only midirabanan. Shmuel was discussing midiraisa. The Braisa is talking about midrabanan. And by the way, it seems that way because we have a mefurish braisa. We have a Tana who says that the fat is aser, but says clearly it's only aser midrabanan. Yisrael kedoshim nagu bayisr, but really sham lo mutter. You see mefurish this idea. Pasha, it seems to be a mefurish braisa. But the Gemara says to me, how do you know that? Dumar Rabbi Yehuda. How do you know that that braisa is going according to Rav Meir? Maybe that braisa is going according to Rabbi Yehuda. Avlo Rav Meir midraisa nami aser. Maybe really Rabbi Meir holds that the fat of the Gid HaNasha is aser, even midraisa. This braisa, where you have an opinion, or a Tana who says that the fat is aser midraisa, maybe it's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda who said it's mutter in the first braisa was referring to on the midraisa level. This braisa, when he says it's aser, he means it's aser midraisa. But the point is, not everybody holds it's mutter midraisa, because Rav Meir holds it's aser midraisa. So again, what then did Shmuel mean when he said everybody holds the chelov as mutter? But the Gemara says no. Leisol gadaita can't be what you just said. You can't say that that price is Rabbi Yehuda. That price has to be Rav Meir. Time we learned in another price. Gid HaNasha bechatad achar b'chol mokim shahu v'shamnoi mutter. Interesting. So here you have a little bit of Rav Meir, a little bit of Rabbi Yehuda. The price says, how do you remove the Gid HaNasha? So number one, you have to remove the entire Gid, and then it says that the fat is mutter. Now, man shamalei de'ez lechatito, who's the one that says you have to remove the entire Gid? Rav Meir. And v'kama shamalei mutter. And it says that the shaman is mutter. What do you mean the shaman is mutter? I thought the shaman is aser. Oh, the teretz is that this Rav Meir must be again on the doyraisa level. On the doyraisa level, you have to remove the entire Gid, but at the same time, the fat is going to be mutter. The other braisa of Rav Meir, where Rav Meir said shamalei aser, was referring to the Rabbanan, like the third braisa, Shamlei Mutter v'Yisrael Kedoshim Nagu b'Yisr. The bottom line is, the Gemara says that when Shmuel said that L'divrei HaKol Chel by Mutter, he wasn't referring to the Mishnah, the Chelev of a fetus, of a Bet Pekoah. Because whether the Chelev of a fetus is Mutter or Aser is really the Machlekes Remei and Rabbi Yehuda. Whether the Gid HaNasha of a fetus is Mutter or Aser. Whether a Bet Pekoah, this fetus requires Shchita or not. Remei L'Shitasa, Rabbi Yehuda L'Shitasa. There's two ways to look at a Bet Pekoah. If a Bet Pekoah is Niter Agavimoy, doesn't need Shchita, there's no way to get that nosh, there's no way to chelev. If a ben bekua is not niter agavimoy, then it requires shchita, there is an issa chelev, and there's going to be an iser gid hanosh as well. What Shmuel was referring to was a halacha in Hilchis gid hanosh, the chelev of the gid hanosh, even though we know there's a machlekes whether the chelev of the gid hanosh is mutter or asa, machlekes remain Rav Yehuda, that's all under the Rabbanon level, Yisrael kedoshim nagu by iser, Rav Meir said. But on the Raisa level, the chelev is going to be mutter.